Well, girl. That's not why it's last. It just happens to be the final one, and it is this, that here at Saints Peter and Paul, we multiply disciple makers. Multiply disciple makers. And we disciple disciple makers according to the great commission of Jesus Christ, which you just heard, and I'll read for you again in just a minute. But real quick, let me get some definitions here for you. For some of you, you've heard this before. This is new information. It's good review for you. For some of you, this is brand new. A disciple is a student. That's really what the word means as you trace it back. It's somebody who is a learner, somebody who's in the process of learning and growing. Therefore, a disciple maker would be somebody who is like a teacher, okay? Raising up a disciple. If those terms are too confusing or too hard for you to grasp, you know the reality of this kind of relationship. You've all experienced it in many different ways. If you'd rather, you can think about the relationship between a parent and a child, disciple maker and a disciple, or a coach and an athlete, or a supervisor and an apprentice. It's all the same sort of model where one is investing in another, raising them up, instructing, teaching, modeling, so much so that this one doesn't just learn a skill, but that this one who's being raised up also becomes capable of raising up the next generation as well. And so it is with disciples. We multiply disciple makers. I think multiplication is the Bible's favorite kind of math. It's all throughout. God said to Adam and Eve in the very beginning, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. When Noah and his family got off the ark and had to repopulate the earth, God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. In our Old Testament lesson here today, Moses was facing a crisis because of a lack of multiplication. He was a one-man leadership machine, trying to lead the million or so Israelites that had just come out of slavery in Egypt and into the wilderness. He was trying to handle everything himself, over about a million people, until his father-in-law, Jethro, spoke wise words to him and said this, Moses, what you're doing is not good. You and the people will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You're not able to do this alone. So obey my voice and I'll give you advice and God be with you. Look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. Seems like a basic leadership principle. Moses, you can't do it on your own, so raise people up. Raise up others. Raise up faithful people who can instruct and support you in this work because you can't do it on your own, nor should you. Multiply your leadership. Multiply your abilities. I think a lot of us don't naturally or intentionally think about multiplying ourselves in this world. We don't think about multiplication and our ability and what God has put in front of us to multiply into this world. I think because we get so caught up in this world, living with blinders on, so focused on the thing that's just right in front of us, and we're like, I got to take care of this thing so that I can take care of that next thing, so I can take care of that next thing. And we just kind of heap this whole burden upon ourselves, just trying to survive through life. Or the flip side is, maybe we're too prideful, and we think that everything belongs to us, and that we need to just handle everything that's in front of us, because we want the credit, and we want to take care of everything. But God's way of multiplication, particularly as we begin to talk about discipleship, what it does is it takes the emphasis off of us and it gives God all the credit. It puts us in a place of humility, allowing God's Holy Spirit to work in us and then work through us into the lives of other people. The reason that we want to multiply disciple makers is very simple. The reason why we need to multiply disciple makers is very simple. It's because we desire, like Jesus desires, that all people would be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus died for all people. You've heard this before, yes? Jesus came into the world to die for the sins of all people, all nations, all tribes, all languages, and all tongues. This is who Jesus came for, right? We read it in the Great Commission. Jesus said, his last words to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of who? All nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Who did Jesus come for? All nations. And this is not the only place in the Bible that speaks like this. It's not only Jesus, and it's not only the New Testament. The whole Bible, even the Old Testament, speaks about God's desire for all nations to be saved. Look, Psalm 96:3, "Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples." Isaiah 45:22, "Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." God desires all people to be saved, all nations, all nations, all nations. God desires all people to be saved, people in the United States, people in China, people in Nepal, people in India, people in Africa, people in Puerto Rico and Costa Rica and Nicaragua and Honduras and Mexico. All of these places and more are being supported by your mission dollars and by the relationships that we have with people around the world. So yes, you are in some ways already connected to these people around the world. But how does the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ travel? How does it get to the ends of the earth? What's God's plan? You. You're not his plan B, you're his plan A. God is working through you. See, how's it gonna happen? How's the good news of Jesus gonna get to the ends of the earth? I think a lot of us in our sinful humanity, we think, you know what I need to do? I need to get a million followers. If I just get a million followers on social media or whatever, then I'll have a big influence and that'll be good. You've got a Moses mentality. Some of you, maybe your attitude is, you know what we need to do? We need to get more people to come to Saints Peter and Paul, build a bigger building, get more seats, let Pastor Aaron, Pastor Kevin, Marcus handle it. That's not Jesus' idea. Jesus' idea is to work through you and through your real relationships with regular people. Through your real, regular relationships, Jesus wants to be at work through you and then through the lives of those people, multiplying to the ends of the earth. I'm going to get practical with you here today and help you to think through, all right, well, what does that look like? How do I actually do that? Well, today on your way in, you received a little card like this. Will you take it out, please? And look at the yellow side. There's two sides. Look at the yellow side. Those of you joining us online, you can see it on the screen. Otherwise, this resource is also available on our website, copperluth.org/ DANDY, stands for Discipleship and Evangelism. So you can go and download it there. But we're going to look at the yellow side of this card. Some of you have seen this. Some of you have a copy of it. Some of you, this is brand new. But here's the deal. Here's what this card is. And I need to be honest with you real quick. I've done hour-long training sessions on this card, okay? And I'm going to give you like a couple minutes, all right? On that website that I just put up, one of those hour-long sessions is available for you. I'm going to send it out in my email tomorrow morning for those of you who want to dive in deeper and see the biblical basis for what I'm about to share with you. It's on you if you want to do that. But right now, let me just show you a practical tool that you can use. Here's how this card works. You're looking at the yellow side. On the bottom, it says discipleship strategy. This yellow side is about discipleship. When we use the word discipleship, we are talking about our relationships with people who are already Christian. Your relationships with people who are already Christian. They already confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's just maybe they're younger in the faith. Maybe by age, or maybe just by, maybe they don't know a lot about the Bible. Or it could just be somebody who's really wants, is eager to learn more and has just never had somebody walk hand in hand with them in their Christian faith. So we're talking about discipleship today, but you can just flip it over real quick, and on the bottom of this side, it says evangelism strategy. On the blue side, it says evangelism strategy. When we're talking about evangelism, that word, we are talking about our relationships with people who do not yet know Jesus, who do not yet know Jesus. And we have a strategy for how we build relationships with those people, and what you'll see is it's pretty much the exact same as the way that we build relationships with people who already know Jesus, all right? Because we're just talking about having real, regular relationships with people. Very simple. Look at the yellow side of the card. What I want to do with you today is talk about these five I's real quick. These five I's. This is five steps that you can be thinking about as you think about forming relationships with people to raise them up in the faith. But I want to be very clear with you. Discipleship is messy. It's not a clean cut thing. It's not a plug-and-play model. I can't say to you, do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and you'll have a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not that straightforward, but these five I's are a framework you can keep in your mind as you go about thinking, Lord, who is it that I can disciple, okay? So the first I is this. Number one, intercede. Intercede is just a fancy word that means pray. Prayer is at the heart of our discipleship. It's at the heart of our evangelism. Because in prayer, our hearts become aligned with the heart of God. So I would just ask you on a daily basis, are you praying for people who know Jesus, who believe in Jesus, that you have a relationship with already? Not somebody out there, but somebody that you already have a regular relationship with. Are you praying for them and for your relationship to say, Lord, will you be part of this relationship? Do you want me to make a deep investment in this person? And if nothing else, would you at least include this in your daily prayers? Lord, would you make me to be a disciple maker? Would you put people in my life that I can help to raise up to know you better? And just pray that. Pray that, just as at a beginning. The second I is identify. So as you're praying, you're just praying, Lord, who will it be? Who will it be? Eventually, maybe some names will pop into your head, people that you have relationships with already, that you can make a deeper Christian investment in. Eventually, you're going to write those three names on these three blanks. And this can be like a prayer card. You tuck it in your Bible, and you pray for these people. Right now, you're just praying. And then you identify, and after you identify, you're just still just praying. Lord, how's it going to go? How's this going to happen? Are these the people? After identifying three people, then you invest in them. And that just means spend time with people. We're talking relationships. You understand how to build relationships with people? They're formed by spending time. Play together. Enjoy life together. Eat together. We're just talking basic investment. But after that is the invitation. Inviting them into this deeper, intentional discipleship relationship. Now, I know that this can mean, or this can feel like asking somebody out on a date, you know, is it time to go out on a date, or what are we doing here, right? And so this can feel a little bit awkward, but this is what you're doing. You're simply just asking people, hey, what if we invited Jesus into this relationship? What if we met up regularly and read the Bible together and prayed together and walked together in this Christian faith? And if you don't know what you would do in those meetings or meetups, we have resources for you that we can give to you. You just talk to me. And then finally, you involve them. So after discipling them, then you involve them and you say, hey, I see what God is also doing through you in the relationships that you have with other people. Now, what I've done with you, would you go and do the same with somebody else? And we involve them in the same sort of multiplication effort. Again, I've got long trainings on this. I'm going to send it out tomorrow. We can talk more about this. You can take a look at those. But right now, we're going to set this card aside. And I'm just going to show you that this is the way that the Apostle Paul did it in the New Testament. As the Apostle Paul went about his ministry of raising up the early Christian church, in the book of Acts, we see it all over the place. Paul would go to a new city, and he would meet people. He would disciple them, raise them up, and then trust the ministry to them as he would travel to another city. One of the people that Paul raised up was a young man named Timothy. Timothy was a spiritual child of Paul. And two of the books of our Bible are two letters that Paul wrote to Timothy to encourage him in his discipleship work. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, which was our epistle lesson for today, you heard this. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What you've heard from me, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. There's two principles here. The first is this. Paul is teaching Timothy what kind of characteristics people ought to have if they're going to be a disciple of Jesus. Paul lists two of them, faithfulness, and that they have the ability to teach others. So Paul is telling Timothy, if you're going to disciple people who are faithful, people who are clinging to Jesus, who desire to have Jesus in their lives. Those are good people to invest in. And even more so if they have the capacity to teach others, because that's the multiplication effort. That's principle number one, but principle number two that Paul is teaching is that he's encouraging Timothy to disciple to what would be called the fourth generation. There's four generations here. Look at it. Paul would be considered the first generation. He's the spiritual parent. Timothy, the spiritual child. The faithful men, the third generation. And then the people that they're going to teach would be the fourth generation. If nothing else, this is a cool goal to keep in front of us as we think about the relationships that we have with other people and the way that the gospel moves through us and multiplies. Think about it again like a parent and a child. I'm a dad. I'm a father. That's what I know so far is what being a dad is like. And being a dad is really cool. It's awesome to have kids. It's a miracle. It's the coolest thing I've been able to be a part of in this life. But from those of you who are further along in life than me, you've told me that being a grandpa or a grandma, now that's kind of where it's at. That's pretty special. And then I can only imagine those of you who make it to a great grandparent, that's got to be something just remarkable to see the generations multiply. What if it were the same with our spiritual relationships, the investments that we make in people? What if we kept it in front of us to see that we might have spiritual great-grandchildren in this world? Yes, through our physical lineage, but also through our spiritual lineage as well. I want to share with you today three testimonials from people from this church who are actually living this way, who are actually living this out, because I want you to see that what I'm talking about today is not theoretical. It's not philosophical. It is one of our core values, and people in this room right now are living this out. There are people sitting in this church today that are here as a result of disciple makers in this church living as disciple makers in this world. So I want to share with you a couple of testimonials from how people are living this out. Number one, somebody from our church wrote this to me. So what's really cool is that two of the women I disciple, they right away started sharing what they've learned with their sisters. That's pretty cool. I can't say for sure to what extent this is done. I'm not there, but they definitely get excited about going to tell so-and-so about this. I know that they also share with their immediate families as well, which can only have a positive impact on them. All three spend time reading their Bibles, which is always important, and this makes me have to read mine more to be able to stay ahead of the game. So you see life transformation happening for the disciple maker, but for the ones that they're discipling, but then for the ones that they're reaching as well. Awesome. Number two, from somebody else. Maybe I'm just a forgetful human being, but despite a lifelong Christian upbringing, Christian schooling while growing up, and being an active member at church as an adult, I felt that when I started to get discipled myself, that it was this opportunity to truly dig into God's word and understand the gospel message in a very personal way. The opportunity to sit with someone one-on-one and be reminded of the core gospel of the Bible, Christianity 101, while also having spiritually deep conversations, felt like God's word was taking deeper root and meaning in my life. Despite my upbringing in a strong Christian household and extensive Christian education, I felt like I never learned how to have conversations about God and my faith. Our God is a relational God. Not only does he call us to have a relationship with him through reading his word and prayer, but to also bring him into our relationships with others. So being in a discipleship relationship, both as mentor and mentee, has increased my ability to be more open to diving into faith-based conversations. And third and final today, as I began speaking with others about God's word, it began to strengthen my confidence in and conviction about my own faith. I knew more than I thought I did, especially when I began to see where others were in their faith. It has increased my desire to learn more from Jesus so that I can be a greater blessing to those I disciple. Plus, there's this thing of being accountable to them. And he's shown me that my relationship with him really is my top priority, especially as I invest in the lives of others. And I've seen the deeper that my relationship is with Jesus, the deeper the impact he has on others through me. It's really an incredible and wonderful snowball effect. It's a great joy to hear that the women I meet with tell how their interactions with others have been changing. They're seeing the importance of Jesus in our lives and in sharing that with others. These are only snippets of what these people wrote to me. In my Monday email I send out to you tomorrow, I'm going to include their full transcripts, and there's even more that I'm going to include as well. The stories of multiplication are real, and they're really happening. Now, if I were sitting where you were, I'd be thinking, oh, that's awesome. I'm so glad that that's happening. I would love to have that and do that, but I don't know. I don't really get it. I don't know how. I guess I've got this card, but I don't know. What do I do? These people that I just read from, they've all been discipled. They've been part of our discipleship training here. They've had people investing in them. And if you asked any of these people, they would still tell you, I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't feel like I have it all together. I don't know why God is working through me. And yet it's because people have been investing in them that they're able and capable to invest in others. So, an invitation to you. My invitation to you is, if that's you, if you're saying, I would love to influence these relationships in the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ so that all nations hear, but I don't know how, here's your simple invite. Reach out to me. It's on you, but reach out to me. Send me an email, talk to me, give me a call. I'll get you connected, either to one of these people, to some of our trainings, to our resources, to our materials, and we'll walk with you. Because we desire that all nations hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And the way it's going to happen is through Jesus' plan A, which is working through his people, through the simple, regular, real relationships you have, transforming your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you leave this place today overflowing with God's grace, working through you, changing you, forgiving you of your sins, so that as you go into your regular, real relationships, it pours out from you into those people till the whole world hears. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to rise.